I think I've mentioned to you that sometimes I'm reactionary, because the vast majority of the shmooz that I had in yeshiva were either about davening or learning. I tend not to talk about davening or learning so much, just because, like, but I wanted to talk about davening at the beginning of Elul. I spoke about davening a little bit once during Elul. I haven't spoken about davening since Elul. So at least once this month, a lot of talk about davening. So I have my hat there. The parsha talks about davening. If at the beginning of the parsha talks about davening, so I figured we could talk about davening a little bit. There's a fascinating din in Shulchan Aruch. Simin Tzadikhes, Siv Kimmel. Yispalo Derech Tachanunim. So, it's a Mishnah Brachas. Person should daven derech tachanunim. Well, Mishnah says you shouldn't make tefilas chakeva. Ella, it should be tachanunim lefei amakom. So, v'lotiro lov kemasa umavakash lipotzim mimenu. And it shouldn't be something which you want to get done with. So a person should say benachas b'loshen tachanunim k'masa pirish alva bisha oimer b'loshen tachanunim im eino mechashev k'mashe tzorech dover. I don't feel a need to daven. U'bol avakesh m'lifnei hamelech, and I'm coming to ask a kodesh baruch hu. Al shem yispalu b'nei achiyu b'lotzi zedech abosai. I'm davening because that's the halacha. I have to daven. I'm a firma yid. There's a halacha. You have to daven. I daven. Eino nochen. U'ma'oid tzorech lizor b'zeh. You have to be very careful about this. That sounds like a pretty interesting lashon. Like, wow, I'm a good guy. I come on time. I even come a few minutes early. I say all the words properly. I don't feel a tremendous need by Shimon Esrei to ask from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm thinking about the word, what the words mean. I have it all down pat. I know everything. I got it all right. So what's the Hava mean over here? So you should know, but you haven't heard it. And then the Chachi Gavah. So the Rilocha says, Mama Oy Tzarech Lizor Ha'odam B'zeh. You have to be very careful about this. Ki Yesh Kama Poiskim Ha'matzichim L'achshol L'ispal Amach B'zeh. Many Poiskim hold that you're not Yer Tzadavan, and you have to go over again. Halo Hema Habach Ayurabu Beis Yosef Rabbi Mordechai Mogen Giborim. So the from the Rambam, he handles the Rambam, not a riot, etc. So the Maisa, Prima Gadol says, you can't go back because Chash Baruch Lebatola. But the Chachila, Mo'od Yizoyer Bezeh. You have to be very careful about this, the Chachila. So we were talking about my father last week. So should we give his neshama the story? Once. She revised it one time. Said it says, you know, there's an issue of lashon hara. There's a mitzvah to remember the mice of Miriam. So the Torah tells you about that you should remember what Miriam did wrong. It says lashon hara about Miriam. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah of lashon hara is to remember to say lashon hara about Miriam. That doesn't make any sense. It says Miriam was maskim that they should talk about her. If the lesson would become, it was kedai. So we were I was married the very beginning of my marriage, and one the. I don't remember exactly. We were visiting, I think, and he went to davening, and I was davening by a different minyan. So I asked him afterwards, how was your davening? So he said, I don't know, we davened. Like what do those words mean? How was your davening? I had the two options, I mean, you went and you davened. I said, no, there's a davening that you were inspired by, a davening that you felt connected to, the davening which you didn't, you know, which one was it? He says he never wasn't aware of that such a concept. And I think I mentioned to you last week that, you know, later on in his life, I think he used to get one of my daily conversations, my weekly conversations with him was, he had a thought about davening, he was thinking about he had a shot, he had an idea, he worked on himself. I said, okay, that's what davening is, so you got to work on yourself. Rav Pinchas in his Sefer Shor HaMetzvilah makes a cheshbon like this. Now, it's a little bit off for our math, but we'll accept his math for a second. Rav Stifel makes the same cheshbon. He says that a person spends, you know, chakras for a yeshiva bacher, chakras is an hour long. Right? Okay, off of the math right there. Yeah. Mincha is 25 minutes. Okay. Marva, 25 minutes. Benching, so you spend at least 2 hours a day on tefillah. If you're not really being infected by the tefillah, thinking about the tefillah, so it's just sad that it's like 2 hours a day that you push it wasted. Shabbos, it's longer. He says about 4 or 5 hours. I don't know exactly. His math is really interesting, but you know, didn't have an our yeshiva. We could have solved this problem in Shabbos, you know. But it's sad, right? Person goes through day after day, and like the words are the same, the tefillah is the same. Rav Volbl writes in one place something which is extraordinary, and you know, we look at it and we say, I wish I had shaychus to that. He writes that somebody went to him and asked him, like, you know, how do you have kavanah davening? It's always the same words. So Rav Volbl writes, they didn't understand the question. Now I understand the question. I get it. He writes, he didn't understand the question because, you know, you grow as a person from shacharis till mincha, you grew. From mincha till ma'ariv, you grew. So as you grew as a person, you look at the words differently. It means something else different to you. So every davening is a new experience. See, you don't understand the question. Like, I'm looking at this and saying, like, sometimes you feel depressed, you look at the sefer. Like, he's so vite, he doesn't understand the question. Like, what do you mean? What's had this aura? What does kavana in tefillah mean? So kavana pirush hamilas. So that's it. So as long as I know what the words mean, I've fulfilled kavana in tefillah. It didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Because he writes that tefillah is supposed to be lev zman of your period. It's supposed to be the most eager part of your day. You understand? I just writes a similar lashon that was, he writes about himself personally. That was the highlight of his day was tefillah. Now, this, you know, he might, some buckers say, I mean, it's also, I sleep in, so I get a chance to sleep then, so that's my highlight of my day. But that's not what he meant, right? No, Yerusha actually was a lamdan. You know, I mean, you know, he's the Urim and Tumim. You know. The Ksois, the first, I had Rachmanis in the Ksois. It's interesting, you look at the Ksois, the first half of the Ksois is much thicker than the second half of the Ksois. And it's simple, because the first half, he was handling the Urim and Tumim. The Urim and Tumim ended halfway through, less than halfway through Chasham Mishpat. So maybe the first half of the Ksois, there's no Urim and Tumim in the second half, so you didn't have what to argue about. I mean, the Ksois is constantly handling the Urim and Tumim. He was a lamdan. The Rabbi Yonasan Ibsen wasn't just the Rabbi Rabbi Yonasan, a high like Rabbi Rabbi Yonasan, Chassidus Shayid, you know. He was Talmud Chacham also, you know. Moshe look at Talmud Chacham, and he says the highlight of his day was davening. Crazy placey, Yehudeya, I mean, like. Rav Volbl writes that kavanah b'tefillah is the easiest thing in the world. Here we go again, right? The nivra comes to his creator, and he's given the opportunity to speak to him, and he says, I need help. That's the most natural conversation in the world. It has to be uplifting. It has to be inspiring. It has to change you. I walk into tefillah with daigas, with worries, with challenges in my growth, in situations, concern about friends, about Kol Yisrael. And I know that there's a listening ear that I can speak to, who's interested in hearing what I have to say, who's all powerful. He might not always give me what I want, but he wants to listen. It push it, your shoulders, the burden of your shoulders is taken off. The feeling of yiyush is removed. You feel taken care of. You feel the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you walk out of davening a different person. That's what kavanah in tefillah means. It doesn't mean pirush hamilas. It means that that you feel that your conversation is, there's a direction, that you're talking to somebody. A few years ago, I gave lecture, class, speech, cheer for the program, the Young Israel Shem Emunah Meaningful Tefillah Project. So together with the shiur, they put out this little, we made this little card. So the name of the shiur was the seven unhabits of highly effective daveners. For those of you who are a little bit familiar with what's out there, you understand what the playoff was. Was like, what's that? What's a strange name for a book? Okay, anyway, but so there's the seven habits of the highly effective person. And then there's like the takeoffs of that title, etc. Tefillah is about unhabits, not habits. It's not about doing it habitually. Right? You know, that's the one habit that you want to kick. You're davening because, right, some people have to kick their habit of smoking. You have to kick your habit of davening, and it's a very big challenge because we were trained to daven when we were very young, without too much kavanah, because we don't really have kavanah. Not even we know what the words mean, but the idea that we're talking to somebody and talking to Hashem, these concepts are beyond the young child. And we grew up used to that's what tefillah means to us. We say the words, we say them well. And we're makrid, I'm saying them carefully, and we feel good about that. That's a nice thing. And we learn to say them, maybe, you know, try and think about what the words mean, etc. And we say, we're davening. If you walk into a davening and you walk out and you feel the same, you didn't daven. You might have been yotze tefillah, but you didn't daven. If a human being walks out of his tefillah different than the same as he walked in, he didn't really speak to his creator. Because if you spoke to your creator, you're going to feel different. So Sharm says that before a person davens, the person is misbinding on the fact that he has the schus to talk to his creator. That's what he should think about before he starts to daven. That has to be exciting. One time, kind of the reason why they put the Foxman Beis HaMedrash sign over there on the window, because they were very worried about the guys coming into the Beis HaMedrash. They're so excited to come to davening, they're going to forget the glasses there. They're going to run through the glass. So we needed to put this up to make sure that, you know, people notice that there's glass there. Before they had that, they actually had three dots, the three big, like, you know, circular dots. You should notice the glasses there. They're very concerned about this issue of people running into davening. Right? So you're excited about we're meeting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're running it to meet the Melech Malchei Melachim, the source of everything, who cares about you and who wants to hear from you. Tefillah is an embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We spoke about this idea, this he spoke about Elul. The statement the Brashim is interested in hearing what you have to say is extraordinary. It's extraordinary beyond our comprehension how extraordinary that is. We are so puny and so insignificant in size of the within the size of the universe that the Baruch Hashem is interested in hearing what I have to say is a mind-boggling statement. It cannot be anything more than just the Baruch Hashem's statement of how much he loves us and he wants to hear from us. When I was davening for the Almud for my father, Olav Shalom, so I was still in Telz in those days, and even in Telz, with its slow davening, I was having a challenge keeping up to the pace that the yeshiva wanted me to keep up with. It was a very challenging year in that respect. I didn't feel like my davening had the kavanah they wanted it to have, etc. This summer, I went to Muncie. I was in Muncie I was in Square for 2 weeks. But I didn't daven for the Yomid in Square for fairly obvious reasons. I didn't really feel very comfortable davening the Yomid for Square. The one time I did daven there, I just said Kaddish. And they gave me, remember, they have their takanas, you know, you can't daven them unless you're wearing a gartel. You can't get a kibbutz unless you're wearing a gartel. So they gave me galila. And as I go up, I see somebody start reaching around me and start wrapping me with a gartel. I said, no, it's a sefer Torah you're supposed to wrap, not me. You know, it was like Like, what is he doing? It took me a second to count what he was doing. So I went to Beis Shraga, which is the at that point in time was the only yeshiva really which was functioning over there, and I asked him what he done for the Yomid. So Rav Shravs Zatzal said to me, only if you daven slow. I said, thank you. Okay. And one morning after davening, I was talking with Rav Shravs Zatzal. Rav Shrav was tzaddik, mamash tzaddik yisod olam. And I was talking to Rav Shrav after davening one morning. I told him, like, you know, I have this challenge. It's such a pressure to daven, and they expect you to daven a little bit quicker. And I prefer davening more slowly. I prefer, like, you know, sort of thinking about the words, absorbing them, absorbing the message, feeling like I'm connecting to what I'm saying. So he told me, what you have to do is you have to say brachas by yourself. He says. And you sort of say it with your own pace, with your own thoughts, and you sort of get into the zone. Then you can, then the rest of the time go a little bit quicker, and you're still connected. And then he started describing that. That's what he does. With this slow davening there, Beis Shraga, it was still too fast for him, because he really enjoyed the davening. He really wanted to enjoy the words. So, but you know, the tzibur was waiting for him, so he had to daven a little bit quicker. So he would say brachos at home. And that's him. By the time you finish Birchas HaShachar, you should be drunk. You should be pretty drunk. Right? Think about it. You have eyes. You can see. You can walk. You have clothing. Like, stop and think about what it means not to have clothing. We once had the fellow was sleeping here in the forest, right? Wasn't a safe person. We eventually had to ask him to leave, right? His possessions were in his backpack. That's what he owned in the world. He had a backpack's worth of possessions. He had one set of clothing. He didn't have, you know. We didn't let him in the building overnight. It wasn't safe. He had a violent history. He didn't have a coat. He had a thin jacket, and that was what he wore around him to keep him warm. Came one morning, he was lying on the sidewalk, sleeping, in that thin jacket. I have a coat. I'm warm. Thank you, Hashem, that I'm warm. Thank you that I have a house to live in. I have safety. I have security. I have shoes. Like we take so much. The purpose of those brachas is to stop and to think about the bracha we have in our lives. Mishrab writes, Shaloyasani Isha, Shaloyasani Goy. Who do you think when you think Shalom Asani Goy? Says you think, you know, the says you think Mr. Shelach. You think Chanoich. You think Noah. Some of the biggest tzaddikim ever walked the face of the earth. But I have mitzvahs that they don't have. I have opportunities that they don't have. Shalom Asani Isha, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya. Devoira, Avigail, Zion the Vios. Do I think I'm bigger than them? Of course not. But I have mitzvahs that they don't have. Thank you, Hashem, that you gave me those mitzvahs. It's not that I'm not saying I'm better than them. I'm an idiot to think that I'm better than them. Of course I'm not better than them. But I'm stopping having Ms. Bernan. Asher b'charbonu mikolo amim. Menosanon was terasoy. What it means to be a Jew. What the schus that means to be able to be connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the unique way that Klal Yisrael has, the opportunities that Klal Yisrael has. Asher b'charbonu mikol ha'amim, and also one of his Torah said, Pasha should make you jump out of your skin. Asher yatzar sedom b'chochma. The ability to speak. Is referring to the kach of dibur. Mafilasois, the pel of dibur. Birchas HaShachar has to take you at least, you know, if you want to absorb the message and feel the excitement, feel the gratitude, feel the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say thank you to Him, honestly. It takes time. It takes thought. And then once you're into that mode, if that's what you're doing, you feel connected, it's easy to go a little bit quicker afterwards. That's what he told me. We daven for Klal Yisrael. We don't daven just for ourselves. All of Klal Yisrael needs my tefillahs. Just had a conversation with somebody who told me that, you know, that it's important to be a giver, not to be a taker. We're givers every single day, if we want to be. I feel the cries to daven for Klal Yisrael, for the people in danger, for safety of everybody, health of everyone, the refuahs of people who need parnasa, shaduchim, children, geula. I'm pashat davening for Klal Yisrael. Tefillah is this tremendous opportunity to be a noisein. I'm thinking about all of Klal Yisrael. They're all in my heart. They're all in my tefillahs. I told you one time. Somebody asked me about why does an yeshiva say the tefillah for the tzahal? He says the medina. I understand it's different. It's ideologically a question. What about the tefillah for the tzahal? So Rav Soloveitchik, by the way, has a letter where he says he doesn't say it because you know, we don't make new tekanos of new tefillah. So I guess if Rav Soloveitchik wasn't such a tzionist, I don't have to be a bigger tzionist than Rav Soloveitchik. But that's right. I asked him a different question. I didn't tell him that, you know. You know when to say what. You have to, I mean, you try to know when to say what. I said, do you daven for them 3 times a day? Are you worried about that there's young men and young women whose lives are in danger because there's people in Klal Yisrael need them? Are you thinking about them every single tefillah? Why do you have to wait till once a week on Shabbos to say a special tefillah, which we had to make up a new tefillah? Someone asked me, isn't good enough for you? Like, why? For all the people who Pasha couldn't chop, that we make a new tefillah because Pasha nobody chopped, do we need to be davening than 3 times a day? The person stopped the conversation right there. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is that there's a yid somewhere in Iran who needs your help. Tefillah, there's a yid somewhere in Russia that needs your help. Tefillah, there's some yid in Eretz Yisrael who needs your help. There's a yid in Morocco that needs your help. There's a yid in Tunisia who needs your help. Did you know that? There's a yid in America who needs your help. They need you to daven for them. They need you to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu to protect them, to make sure that they're safe. And we're given the opportunity to do that 3 times a day. Rav Hirsch writes, extraordinary thought. One of the highlights of tefillah is Yehi Shmei Rabba. It's very clear. Halacha, Gemara, Zagadata. What is Yehi Shmei Rabba? What are you saying when you say Yehi Shmei Rabba? He says the word Mevorach means to increase. The word shame means an awareness. I would use the word shame to say I know what you're talking about, who you're talking about. I say that's his name. I say the name of the person. I say, I know what you're talking about. The shame Hashem is the awareness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we know who we're talking about. It's not this, there's a God, really? Oh yeah, I know who he is. I know what he does. I'm aware of him. The shame Hashem of Arach means that the Bershom's name should be increased. There should be more awareness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. He says it's a pledge. When you say Yesh Merabah, you're making a promise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbeinu Shalom, by the end of this day, there'll be more awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. People will be more aware of him than when the beginning of the day. I'm going to live my life in such a way, I'm going to act in such a way, I'm going to carry myself in such a way, I'm going to be careful in such a way that the people will be aware that there's a creator in this world. And I will increase the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Briya. That's my promise of Yesh Merabah. That's Karnal Gezar Dinoi Shoshiv Mishana, the Mora says. If you say it, but Kol Kavanosa means, I know what the words mean. Really? It's a great skula. You know, since you scream really loud, and you think what the words mean, and now you have this horrible Gezar Dinoi for your whole lifetime, and it's taken care of. That's not what it means. Means you put every single ounce of your physical exertion and your mental exertion into this commitment that you're going to really make this happen, and then you do it. That deserves that you've changed the world. So your life has changed as well. Your Gezar Din is the Ra, it's changed as well because you changed the world. The commitment changed the world, and the taking that commitment and applying it and doing it changed the world. And each part of tefillah is punctuated with a new Yehesh Merabah. Some people are mocked by the dafka, they should say a kaddish after karbonis. Because by saying Berakah HaShachar and karbonis, person stops, I have a greater awareness of Kodesh Baruch Hu, I promise that I'm going to make the world more aware of you. Then I say Pesukah Zimra. I think about that. And that inspires me to say, you know what, Baruch Hashem, I understand you even better. So I'm going to make a new commitment based on that. Then I go through Birkas Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, and again, I become more clear what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is and what he does and how important, what he means to me and how much he cares about me and cares about the world. And I said, you know what, now, based on that understanding, Baruch Hashem, I commit again. And then I say, Kudusha Desidra. I understand that what the world's about, I make this new commitment again. And that's why we say Kaddish in each section. After each part of Tefillah, it's punctuated. When each section is finished, we say a Kaddish. Because we become more aware of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's what a Shacharis is supposed to look like. Now, Rabbi, I ask you, I wish I daven like that every single day. I wish I daven even part of that like every single day. But can you imagine davening like that once in a while? How long would it take you? If you can do it in 45 minutes, you're going. Yisrael Salanter, they say, before he planned to be a Tzaddik Nister, so he trained himself to daven a very quick, with all of the intensity of Yisrael Salanter's davening, it was done in a very quick, motionless tefillah. Right. So you need the guidance of Rabbi Sosalantra to compress all of those emotions and all of that feeling and all of that understanding and all of that commitment and all that inspiration into a brief, quick tefillah. But if we want to be honest, that we want to take out a tefillah, what tefillah is supposed to do for us, we need time. We need to give ourselves time. Time to say brachas. If you come in time for davening at 7:45, you are late. If you come in time for davening at 7:40, you're putting your tefillin and you're ready for brachos, you're also late. Because when did you say brachos? After the chazan says brachos. So you're ready behind. If you come at 7:30, and you have time to sit in the misbeinon in the fat of Bereshit and does trenes chasadim to you, and he's made it to you, and you put on your tefillin, your talis and tefillin, and you say brachos with a little bit of a focus and commitment and understanding and inspiration and excitement and simcha, that look what I have in my life. We set the davening for, I think it's supposed to be at 17 minutes, and the problem is we have most of the chazanim can't make it last 17 minutes. So Yishtabach. They can't say the words that slow. Well, it's true, because if you say out loud the beginning of the paragraph, end of the paragraph, I don't know, it's like hard to say it makes 17 minutes. I have no idea how you can finish from Brachas till Yishtabach in 17 minutes. I have no idea how you can do it. I have no idea how you can compress it in that period of time. Because if the middle of paragraph there's some words that speak to you, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. Round the clock. Stop and think about those words. Let them talk to you. Really? Like, think about that for a second. Give me a few moments to absorb that thought. Say it again, maybe a second time, with a little more simcha and a little more excitement. My Bershalom, I'm living in a world where you're carrying everybody in your hands. Feel that cocoon. Feel that embrace. Feel that thank you. Feel that simcha. I don't want to go to the next pasuk yet. I want to absorb that. I want to say it again. I'm not in a rush. Where am I going? Where am I running to? And the opposite is, the Bir Lacha says, it's like according to the Bach, according to the Beis Yosef, according to the Maggid, the Maimon Mordechai, not your Rabbah, the Maggid Gibarim. If you don't daven like this, the tefillah is an act of a human being speaking to his creator and asking and feeling a need to ask and talking to him, you're not here to daven. I know what all the words mean. I said every single word clearly with dikduk milel mora and mapikes and what are you talking about? You know, gevaldik, beautiful. And I'm akbed on, you know, the negation even. I'm really from. And I know what all the words mean. That's very nice. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's a backdrop. It's a tefillah. It's not tefillah. And if we don't learn how to daven when we're in yeshiva, when are we going to learn? Afterwards? If we don't learn how to take tefillah, that tefillah should be an expression of the heart, the vodesh belev. Now, so I'm supposed to learn it while I'm running to work every morning and I don't have time? I really don't have time? It's the time. This is to think about a little bit, to be misbehaving a little bit, try and find a way that we can make tefillah something which is a true act of avoda. It's not just saying words, but it's a human being talking to his creator. That's a tremendous opportunity that the Bereshit gave us. Let's take advantage of it and grow from that.